from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
And welcome to the rewrap for Monday. The first rewrap for 2018. I am Glenn ZB. I'm back. The Hosk is not. He obviously didn't get the memo. Either that or I didn't get the memo and I'm back a week early. Anyway, Chris Lynch was standing in for him this morning. He talked the Manuka Honey Stoush, which is still going on between Australia and New Zealand. There's an app to grant sexual consent now. Should we teach a second language at primary school? And are selfies a sign of serious psychological issues? But before any of that, the Hawaiian missile alert that wasn't, and the fallout of that, Chris was just in Hawaii, actually.
Locals there not only live longer, they're less stressed, and they're happier than residents in any other American state. I just hope the weekend incident doesn't change this, but it might. The wait goes on for their president to offer reassuring words, but he's too busy tweeting about that nasty book written about him. So just how much longer do Hawaiians actually live? Well, a new report found that residents older than the 65 was 21.3 years, considerably higher life expectancy than those who live in Mississippi, the lowest being the national average of 17.5 years. It's probably also to do with the food they eat as well. When you walk down the main street of Waikiki, there's a convenience store everywhere. They call them ABC stores. You'll find fresh fruit, salads, side bowls, you name it, it's there and it is absolutely fresh. There's no commercialism for the locals as well, because when they feel down, forget the movies, you're more likely to go head for a hike in the back hills of Honolulu. It's a beautiful place. I just hope this major cock-up by their local civil defence over the weekend doesn't stress or doesn't change the stress levels of what I would call one of the friendliest places on earth.
I was a bit disappointed with the message that when they eventually sent out the message saying, it was all a mistake, there is no missile coming, that it didn't include a hang loose on the end of it as well. And this, you know, the sign with the hang loose symbol. If I was Hawaiian, I think that would have relaxed me. Now, anything but relaxation between Australian and New Zealand honey producers, with the Manuka honey stoush continuing.
You're being cheeky, aren't you? Because Manuka, that's a Maori name. And consumers can rightly expect Manuka honey to come from New Zealand, can't they?
It might be a Maori name, but if it is, our indigenous people did use it as well, because those trees have been known as Manuka trees for almost 150 years, and we've known them as Manuka trees. We do produce Manuka. Look, we cannot understand. We're down here on this part of the world on our own, less than 2% of the world's population. We are the only two little countries that produce Manuka honey. Combined, we will never be able to produce enough for the world. And why are we one of us trying to isolate the other?
Well, I've got an idea. I've got a solution for you, Lindsay. Why not employ some kind of marketing genius to give you a hand so you can market it as something even more superior than a New Zealand product? Problem solved.
No, it's just the same. It's the exact same product. You can't say that there's a one country only has it. I mean, you're going close to the wind here, because you could undo some of the really good marketing work that you've done with this, because everybody knows that that is not true. It doesn't only come from New Zealand. It comes from Australia as well.
Okay, then here's another option for you. Here's a solution for you, Lindsay, and I swear your problems will be solved. Would you be happy to call it then Australian-made Manuka honey?
No, not Australian-made, Australian Manuka honey. Yes, and you could call yours Kiwi honey New Zealand Manuka. You've got wonderful branding.
Then we've found a solution today, haven't we, on the Mike Hosking Breakfast. I don't mind if you call it Australian Manuka honey, that's fine. Fine with me.
We don't want to pass it off as New Zealand Manuka.
Well, there you go. I've just saved you litigation costs.
So can this interview now be taken down and used in evidence? Am I going to have to send it to court? I don't know what just happened there. I like honey, though. Apparently now there's an app that grants sexual consent, so there's no grey area. Do we need this, and will it work?
Without going down too much of a seedy road, though, but if you've got two presumably consenting adults who yes or whatever, or however this app works, to having some form of sexual relations, and that was the main grounds. Your concern is not so much that, it's the contact, or it's the difference that could change, or the storyline that could change further on down the track when one partner says, I don't want to have sex with you.
Yes. If, for example, if someone had signed this app, if they'd worked on it together and they'd both signed it, and then the abusive person or potentially abusive person was to spike her drink and then have sexual activity while she wasn't really in a consenting state, that person would still have the evidence that she had consented. So later on down the track, if she realised she'd been physically assaulted and didn't know anything about it even, she would have no... It would be really hard for her to prove that that had happened without her consent.
What do you think we can do then? Because these apps are on the rise, aren't they? Particularly with young people.
Yes. Yes, they are. And I think that the other thing that I think it removes the human conversations that need to be had in depth and replaces them with pushing a button. I think that's really counterproductive, really, because it's conversations that are going to change behaviour.
Yeah, no, I really feel like the key to a healthy relationship is to keep conversations to a minimum. No good ever came out of a conversation, because eventually you just end up having a disagreement, which then becomes an argument and then becomes surly silences. Just do what I do and just don't have sex at all. It's much easier. Bit of feedback on the primary schools having to teach another language situation this morning.
All for learning another language, personally, but if there's no resources, let's just concentrate on the fact that the literacy figures released in 2006 suggest that we've gone right down internationally in the OECD. So let's try and just concentrate on making sure our kids are actually bright when they come out of primary and intermediate school, as opposed to trying to get them another language. Just my thoughts.
I always felt a bit sorry for the trainee teachers. You know how they make them learn guitar and stuff like that so they can teach the kids music?
Oh, yeah.
And some of them, you know, they're just not natural musicians. You know, and I just feel that we might have another instance of this if suddenly, you know, they've been... Because there's a selection of languages that they're allowed to choose from, isn't it? They're not actually mandating that the school teaches a specific second language. There's a 12, is it 12 different ones that they can choose?
About 10 they want.
Yeah. So, you know, if the school in question is decided, oh, it's going to be Korean or whatever, and you don't have a natural aptitude to speaking Korean,
then you're stuffed, aren't you?
Suddenly, it's like being in front of the class trying to play the guitar that you're not very good at.
I remember my student teacher in primary school teaching us all to play. Remember the recorder? That is the most hated instrument on earth, isn't it? Who plays the recorder apart from primary children? That is, do people play the recorder as a profession? Surely not.
I don't know if it...
Remember the record? I can't remember.
Somebody must be responsible for it.
It's almost as bad as the bagpipe.
So in that little section there, did Chris manage to piss off teachers, Scottish people, and recorder fans all at once? There aren't any recorder fans, obviously, but certainly the first two. You would imagine the Scottish teachers listening. They must be apoplectic. We're going to finish up with some disturbing selfie developments.
If you took up to 3 selfies during your holiday a day, you can consider yourself nuts, at least in the eyes of the American Psychiatric Association and countless others, who, over the past month, have been igniting this global movement to recognise that an addiction to selfies can be indicative of a mental disorder. Participants in this study were based in India, by the way. Why? Well, this country has the most users of Facebook, as well as the highest number of deaths as a result of trying to take selfies in dangerous locations. I suppose I shouldn't laugh, should I? We all know somebody who loves to capture that moment, that duck face moment. You know what I mean? We just want to punch them in the face. But anyway, recently the American Psychiatric Association actually confirmed that this is a serious case of a mental disorder. They're calling it... I think they call it self-titis or self-itis. The obsessive compulsive desire to take photos of oneself and post them on social media as a way to make up for their lack of self-esteem and fill in a gap of intimacy. How extreme is yours? Let me just give you a quick breakdown. If you find yourself taking up to 3 selfies a day but not posting them on social media, consider yourself borderline. If you're posting at least, Ben's listening to this very intently, if you're posting at least 3 images of yourself a day, that's acute. And lastly, if you're experiencing an uncontrollable urge to take and post up to 6 photos a day, congratulations, you're a chronic case. So what's the treatment? The experts say more research is needed, but I suggest putting down your blimmin' phone and trying the freeing and powerful experience of living.
Well, this is a bit disturbing to me because I've never really taken selfies before because I've never wanted to subject people to my horrible, disgusting face. But I thought I might just change it up a bit on my recent trip to Vietnam, and I did flood Instagram a little bit with some selfies of me. Go to my Instagram page, GlenZB, and you'll see them if you want. As a result, I lost a lot of followers on Instagram, so my worst fears were born out there. So I've now decided not to post any more pictures of my face on Instagram anymore. That's a no-no. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Monday. We'll be back with more Chris Lynch tomorrow. Let's see how many Scottish teachers we can alienate then.